Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're on now.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your man, Michael Washington. How's everybody doing out there? We want to thank all of y'all tonight for enjoying and on the air, being a part of Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse International. Our topic for tonight is life being away from a loved one incarcerated. I have some very unique, distinct guests here tonight, and we're definitely going to be talking to them and find out what's on their minds. We have a brother from Denver, Colorado, who's incarcerated up that way, and then we have a brother down here in South Carolina who's incarcerated that way. Our topic is going to be tonight, is it fair for a state to disregard state law and not give a person the amenities that are allowed and goes along with the fundamental rights of due process, and that is a grand jury? We have one brother by the name of Omar Jen who's going to be speaking here shortly. He was incarcerated. He's going to tell you when and why. I could have got all that information, but I don't want to hear it from me. I want you to hear it from him. I want him to know what it feels like being incarcerated for however long it was, and that why is it that he feels that he should be given what is required under the state statutory law, and that is a grand jury before he can even be sentenced or indicted for the crime for which he is being charged with or has been charged with. Then we're going to have Brother James, who's going to pull up the end of this program, and he's going to be talking about mass incarceration, how both of these situations each tie in. So I'm getting ready to go right now to Brother Gent here, and everybody, I want y'all to follow through, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of time left so that you and our audience out there can go ahead and give your opinion about what you thought about it tonight, or even give us an idea for the next show. I mean, once again, this is your show and not mine. This is Michael Washington, your guy. I'm just here to make sure your voices are heard. So if I can now, let me go back to Brother Omar Gent. Brother Omar, you there?
Yes, sir.
Brother Omar, how you doing tonight, bro?
God is good. Thank you for allowing me to come on the show.
Oh, man, I tell you, I'm loving it. Thank you, Brother Bill from New Orleans. Thank you for tuning in. All right, Brother Jen, now, tell us a little bit about your situation. Now, what is this about? What do you mean that they have a statutory law that says that you have a right to a grand jury, but they just bypass you all the way around? I mean, what do you mean by that?
Yes, sir. First of all, my name is Omar Jeremy Jent. I was born May 6, 1984. I've been illegally incarcerated for more than 13 years now. As explained by my website, freeourbrothers.com, my primary website, freeourbrothers.com. I was railroaded through the system. I'm unlawfully incarcerated, basically kidnapped, charged with aggravated robbery, didn't have a grand jury indictment, first and foremost. So because I didn't have a grand jury indictment, all the charges filed against me are absolutely null and void, meaning they do not legally exist. And the state of Colorado is employing white supremacist state terrorism.
Because,
first and foremost, black people, all poor people, but really, black people, to slam us in these prisons, railroad us as quickly as they can, disregarding due process law.
Okay. So you saying that there's a statutory law saying that you have to be given a grand jury before you can even be indicted. Are we hearing that correctly?
Let me correct you on that, my dear brother. First and foremost, Article 2, Section 8 of the Colorado Constitution commands that the state prosecutor must initiate all felonies on a grand jury indictment. But what they do, they use statutory law to go around this requirement. They try to say the prosecutor file information, which means that's a charging document in this state that is only lawful for misdemeanors. So you have prosecutors charging people with felonies, giving people licenses, time in the pen for in the penitentiary for 10, 20 years, anything over a year. They have to go to the grand jury indictment. And the reason why the grand jury system is to put a check on overzealous prosecutors. But, what they're trying to do is just keep this prison population booming.
Right.
In spite of COVID and things along for my brother.
Wow. Man, now that is crazy. So what kind of time are you looking to finish before your sentence is completed as far as they're concerned up there?
Well, praise to God, man. Make your, I've been putting away, putting in for a halfway house, pretty soon.
Okay.
Just build another form.
Okay.
Halfway freedom, you know, you
yeah.
life.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're putting terms away, you're putting terms and conditions on me. We didn't have the authority to even charge me for a crime.
Right.
Period.
Right.
So, it's bigger than me. You know, and I have a beautiful fiance that I love very much, my high school sweetheart.
Yes.
Out there in Florida. So you want me to stay here a year in Colorado? I've been away from my family 13 years.
Oh, man.
Everybody I love. You want me to stay here another year? You're putting these holes on people, hoping that we fail so you can keep us back in your
cell. Right.
Keep us back in your pocket. Keep these chains back on us. And that's all they want to do, my brother. But through the grace of God and working with people with you, I'm standing up to say, It stops here.
All right. Now, speaking of your lady, we have her on the line as well. I just want to hear from her, just from them to come back to you. Then we'll let Brother James speak. I just want to hear from her what kind of toll this has taken on her life. So, Sister Tiffany Crider, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm absolutely great and outstanding here. I have your man here on the other end here, and he's talking about this. People want to keep him locked up here, up there in Denver, rather than going down to Florida where you and his family is. I mean, so far he's been gone 13 years. What kind of effect has that had on y'all's relationship? I mean, what kind of feeling emotionally is that per se personally with you? Give me some kind of idea what's going on.
Jeremy's my king. I haven't seen him since I was 21 years old. I'm 38.
What?
Yeah, it's been that long.
My goodness.
That we haven't physically seen each other. He's been incarcerated for 13 years, and the day that he got sentenced, all of us got sentenced. My father, his father, his brother, his sister. This is a sentence that all of us are enduring and have been enduring. And although all of us try to make the best of it, it's taking
right.
a toll. All of us, him specifically, he's the one who has to, you know, be in there day in and day out. But, you know, we've lost friends, we've lost family, we've lost people who, you know, were riding with us in high school and now they're around. And, you know, this situation has just kind of made us cling to each other even more.
Amen.
Because we understand what the system is set in place to do. It's designed
right.
to separate families. It's designed to disrupt relationships. It's designed to create a huge separation between those who are incarcerated and the rest of the world. You know, he's out of sight and out of mind for a lot of people. But he can't be that way for myself and his dad and his siblings. We do our best to stay connected as much as possible. It's very expensive. The phone.
Amen.
The phone.
Amen.
Pretty
yes.
expensive. But you know, it's very important for us to stay connected and talk and communicate. And especially in this situation, he and I have had to evolve our relationship from what a normal relationship would look like. For everyone else, they rely on the physicalities of a relationship and being able to go out with one another and physically touch each other and all this kind
yes,
of stuff.
Yes.
He and I have had to develop deeper connections and explore other ways to engage in
intimacy. Amen. Amen.
You know, communication is very, very key. I think he and I are excellent communicators. We've learned over the years how to just pay attention to one another and listen to the other person. I mean, little things, just like the inflection of someone's tone or the way someone's breathing or, you know what I mean?
Amen. Yes.
You know what I mean? We've become very attuned and acute to how we communicate with one another because, like, that's all we have.
Amen.
But for years, for me, getting off the phone with him, every single time I would get off the phone with him, I would go into, like, this hysterical crying fit.
Amen.
I had no idea whether or not that was going to be the last time you would speak to him.
Let me say something. Let me stop you just for a second. Now, that now that really what struck me then. You know, you said you had this anxious fear of not possibly hearing from him after the phone was hung up. I mean, had there been some kind of experience beforehand like this where they wouldn't let him talk to you for 4 or 5 days or a month or something?
Well, yeah. There have been, they monitor our phone calls all the time. We are constantly they'll hang up on me all the time. They would withhold mail from both of us.
Wow.
They deliberately do things to try and sabotage our relationship. We'll literally be on the phone and we might be in the middle of a very serious conversation hang up the phone or things like that. And this could be interpreted in a negative way from either one of us. If we are able to get in the way and if we allowed our anger and frustration to get the best of us.
Right.
We understand the system and what they're trying to do. We know that it has nothing to do with he and I and our relationship. We're intact. But this is the problem that they have. They don't want black love. They don't want healthy relationships. They don't want, you know, families that are pouring into their family members who are incarcerated, building them up, making them strong, making them positive. You know, they want us all to come off and appear as niggas.
Yes.
And Omar is far from that. And
let me say one more thing. I'm glad that you brought, I don't mean to cut you off, but, you know, I got these thoughts ribbiting in my mind. So, Brother Omar, again, let me see. You said now, how are you able, brother? I mean, this has really got me wondering here. How in the heck are you able to? I know you have family and all that and your girl, your lady. But what I'm trying to say is, man, how in the heck, when you get on them phone, you know this is happening every doggone day, how are you able to just withstand your peace, man? I mean, how? Talk to me, man. Because, look, let me tell you something. With me, I would probably throw a brick at one of them, throw the ceiling off the wall or something. So what's going on, man?
God is great. First and foremost, I'd like to thank my queen for, you know, being there for
Amen.
Me.
Amen. Amen.
So much, and I can't wait to join the marriage with you. And
Amen.
So beautiful, you know. So, you know, God is great. God is my strength. God is my encouragement. God is my power. You know, you can't stop, you know, me because you can't break the Creator.
Amen.
So my center is in the power of God, not in my own power. And the more I am tuned in Him, I'm able to, you know, to bear the burden that He has placed upon me, you know, with grace I can overcome all obstacles and anything. You know, and I think of the example of the ancestors who had been through so much more. I was reading the other day when they said a man was somewhere down south.
Uh-huh.
Was whipped over 400 times just for going to see the woman.
Wow.
You know, whipped him, and he did it again. They whipped him another 400 times, man. And this is bringing tears to my eyes as I think about it, because I come to that fundamental pool where you want to be with your woman, and you're like, you're not going to stop me from doing it. I mean, 400 strokes? You know, they said that the people beat him so much, they got exhausted and they fell out there.
Wow.
You know, and then he did it again. And I'm like, I can see that. You know, me doing that, you know. So now is the time for, like you say, you know, black love. Now is the time
for
the love of God, standing up for all people, not just me and her story, but for those who can't articulate themselves. I was helping a man last night who was, couldn't even speak, trying to put in his canteen order. He's stuttering and stammering, and he can't even stand up.
Mm.
I'm going to help him stand up and put in this canteen order into this phone. I mean, what is the purpose of you putting people in prison that can't even stand up?
I think that's something, man.
Literally on their feet. So if I don't stand up through the grace of God with the example of everything the ancestors been through, you know, everything I've been through, everything my woman's been through, there's no way in the world as a man to believe in the power of the Creator.
Oh,
you know,
man.
That I can focus my mind on His awesome power.
Oh, I'll tell you what, now that is absolutely powerful, man, the message that you share with me. Back to you, Ms. Quieter. So what is the main focus of this here? So what do you want to see come out of this, Ms. Quieter? I mean, from your woman's point of view, I mean, what would satisfy you right now?
I just,
there's no right or wrong. Just take your time. Just whatever. I mean, just Yeah, just speak what's on your heart. I mean, you know, this is your show.
Yeah. I just want him home. I just want him home with me and his family. We have fought for so long, and just writing grassroots organizations, corresponding with lawyers.
Right.
Getting his case all the way up to the Supreme Court. Just everything that we have tried in order to expose this corrupt system and allow people to see what is really happening. And the problem with this is if you shed light on one part of it, you're going to have to shed light on all parts of it. And the reality of the situation is that prisons are monetized. It's a business.
Oh, man. Yes.
Black bodies are the currency. And the reality of the situation is this is a huge epidemic that is across the country. This is how America is making money and is sustaining a lot of people. So breaking this system, it requires so much and it takes so much.
Yes, absolutely.
Individuals who are exposing this system are a target.
Y'all right, definitely.
Shedding light on the corruption in our legal system, in our judicial system, from the police all the way up to judges and everyone in between. So,
I tell you, let me hold you right there. I got to take a station break. That's what my director and manager just said, so I don't want him to cut me off. So let me hold on, y'all, and we'll definitely get back to you. Y'all hang on just a minute. We'll be right back. This is your guy, Michael Washington, right here at Old Papa International, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. We want everybody to know that. And as we go on, we're going to try to give y'all a little bit of blast from the past with Cool in the Game. Well, y'all, y'all heard it tonight. We're a long way from being over. We're going to do this once a week. And we want to know what you, the audience, think we need to be talking about. This is your radio show. I'm your guy, Big Daddy Mike, giving you what you need to hear tonight. Bro Omar, stay and hang in there.
Yes, sir.
Sister Tiffany Clyder, it ain't over with. It's just beginning. The weather word for outside here in Oklahoma City, wow, it's, I can't believe it's 60. No matter what the powers that be say, we're going to make that right. When we come back, All right, everybody, we made it back. All right, y'all got me fired up tonight. Let's go back to Sister Tiffany, and then we're going to try to go back a little bit more with Omar, and then we're going to come back with Brother James, who's on the line. He's going to give us a little bit of information about mass incarceration. So everybody, y'all stick with us. Hey, all right, Bobby, up there in, what, New Jersey? What's going on, man? All right, I'm just up here doing it. Hello, Evelyn? New Orleans? Really? Okay. All right, Sister Clyda, how are you again?
I'm here. How are you?
I am absolutely outstanding. You know what? You two people sound like y'all in love, and it sound like y'all real intelligent. No, I'm serious. I don't need to be lying to you. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth here.
I'm glad we got so happy, brother. It's about time. It's been a long journey with me
and her. Yeah, yeah. Hey, and you still there. You know, and that's real love, brother, because when you can laugh and joke and even get mad at each other, because that's life and that's history. Because, I mean, conditions were, come on now, let's keep it real.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you already know beforehand how to deal with it. You know, so that's really important.
Yeah.
And again, like I say, the system is designed to destroy y'all, to break up families and relationships, and also to keep you broke. Now, remember that.
Exactly.
You know?
So for us knowing that, we were determined from the very beginning not to allow anything to break us.
And all right.
That's a commitment that we made to each other from the very beginning.
Amen. Amen.
Continue to every single day just recommit to that concept directly or indirectly.
Amen.
Knowing that at the end of the day, that's what they want. They want to separate it. You know, he has been my absolute best friend. He is my soulmate. He is the person that knows everything about me and loves me despite
everything
he knows. You
know, amen.
That's the kind of stuff that they don't want. We're both very pro-life. We are very, we love our
community. Oh, gotcha.
We love our community. We want what's best for us. And they don't want to see couples like that. They don't want to see individuals
who
are pouring into the Black community and
amen.
Giving strength and hope and love and teaching them, you know, how to recognize their value and their self-worth, knowing that we're kings and queens and everything that
yes.
we touch to platinum. You know what I'm saying? We are great people and we've overcome everything. And, you know, if we just continue to band together and rise up, we can't be defeated. You know, they don't want that. They don't want that.
Yeah.
Anything they can do to cause division between us, they're going to. So.
Oh, amen. Amen.
We've just taken a commitment and made just to make sure that.
Well, look here, you can't keep dropping them jewels on us and trying to get away. We ain't going to keep going through that now. Hey, you know, this is powerful knowledge and wisdom that we have going here, y'all. And what I want to do is to give y'all more opportunity on our shows to be able to let others hear the intelligence with which we're listening to. Brother James, hang with me now. We're going to get you with you about 5 more minutes. But what we want to do is everybody know next time we come on, y'all have maybe a couple of friends come with you because there's something going on out there that we need to hear. I mean, this is your hour. I mean, every time we have it, it's y'all's hour. You know, I want everybody to know that the Black man and woman has already been targeted in the Western Hemisphere, number one, because you have melanin, deep melanin in your system, number one. And they don't like the fact that life begins from you. I'm sorry, whoever listened, I just have to be truthful. It wouldn't be a real host if I didn't. And because that they saw your uniqueness and skin pigmentation, your mind, your wallet, your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, they find it necessary to kidnap you and bring you to the Western Hemisphere to build America to be the great empire that it has become today. And yet we are the only ones still haven't been given our reparations. Now, come on, really? Why? Because if you give me reparations, that means I'm going to have an independence that's going to be so surpassing in your knowledge and wisdom and your infrastructure that I'm going to be running the United States. That's why you keep your foot on my neck, because you know that. I mean, how can it not be? So you're definitely talking about in what way do we keep you confined and disgruntled and useless to one another than by incarceration? Because modern day slavery, like I think sister, one of y'all said it earlier, oh, no, I think it was Brother James, this is just a modern day slave plantation. In other words, they don't have the physical shackles on us no more, but the majority of us have the still mental shackles, and that's really terrible. Amen to that. So, Brother Omar, let me get with you before we go over to Brother James here. If you had one thing to say to that DA, what would you say to him?
One thing to say,
Take your time. Take your time.
The God is real.
You
know, well, the Thomas Jefferson that said, I tremble for my country when I think of the fact that God is a God of justice and his justice can't sleep forever.
Yeah, amen.
You know.
Amen.
And I say this in all humility that my website, prayerbrothers.com,
Now, where can we find that at? What can we find that? What can we find? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off because, like I said, I got to get ready to shorten it here. Where can we find freeairbrothers.com?
Type in that Free Air Brothers. You can go to Google or, you know, Facebook, freeairbrothers.com. It should pop right up.
Okay.
And it explains everything. Instagram at Free Air Brothers. Instagram at Free Air Brothers. It has a video on the main video of RV citizens. Yes or no. It's a Dred Scott video addressed to Leslie Herron of the Colorado Black Legislative Caucus.
Uh-huh.
And I'm asking the people to please support that video by reaching out to the members tagged in the caucus.
Okay.
Tagged in the video, excuse me. Especially Leslie Herron. Her phone number, please leave a message at this number, 303-866-2959, and ask her to please answer the demand posted at the end of the video. That's all she has to do, but she's failed to do so. You know, she wants to, with all due respect, you know, this is the guy on CNN and spoke about how this one racist Republican called her a buckwheat. Yeah, he called her a buckwheat during a legislative session out here in Colorado.
Wow.
You know, with all due respect, I responded to the sister and said, you know, with all due respect, they calling us buckwheat every day.
Wow.
You know, when it's illegal mass incarceration, they calling us, you know, the N-word. They calling us Dred Scott. You know, what I was saying, the prosecutor, the judges, the governor, I'm not going to give up. Through the grace of God, with powerful people like Michael Washington.
Amen.
Coalition and others who are listening, we're going to bring this issue forward.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
Through God's power will come. Reckoning will come.
Amen.
It's not going to stop.
Amen. Let me see.
It's not going to stop.
1 second. Who was this 302 number? 545? Who was that?
You said 302?
Yeah.
That might be the number that I have for Leslie Harris. It's a 303-866.
No, I'm looking at a 3. I thought that's who that may have been because it's a 302-545 number. Hello, are you there? Caller. I guess they're still on, so I guess they probably may have went somewhere else. All right, we're going to take a break here, y'all. But what we're going to do here is when we get back, we're going to try to get Brother James, who's been very patient with us. We're going to try to get him on there so he can talk a little bit about mass incarceration. But I definitely want you to still hang on, you and Sister Tiffany there, Brother Omar. Because we're going to have some parting shots before we leave. But again, I'm going to go back and take this station break one more time, put a little bit more cool in the gang, let them rock me into the house, and then we're going to hear from Brother James. And I guess hopefully the 302 number will have something to say a little later on. Say what you will, powers that be can't hold us back, y'all. You know, I'm loving and trilling with it. By the way, I learned that from my nephew the other night. Is it trill, Uncle? Yeah, it's trill. To the core, to the max. We're going to be back. That's right, every Saturday, 7:30 to 8:30. Yours truly gonna be here. Letting you feel the real. That's right. Hey, Brother Joe, all right. Y'all know I'm gonna identify you when I see your number pop up. Sydney? From where? Milwaukee? Oh, man. You trying to show out, brother. We might try to get you on the show next week. I don't know. Now, you got to bring me some hamburgers if you want that to happen. I'm just kidding. All right, y'all. Let's get back to the show. Yours truly, tonight's show, Life Being Away from a Loved One Incarcerated. Our special guest tonight, his brother Omar Gent and his queen, Miss Tiffany Kreider, is on the line with us. Who y'all been hearing from so far tonight? When we get back, we're going to hear a little bit from Brother James down there in South Carolina. All right, y'all, we're back here again at the Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse International. Again, we're talking about, first of all, the first half of the show, we were talking about life being away from a loved one incarcerated. We were talking to my esteemed and wonderful brother who's down there in the Denver Correctional Facility, Brother Omar Gent. Of course, his ladies there was also on the line with, and they're still, I hope they're going to remain with us until we get off here. And again, I see 214, thank you for calling in as well, and we'll probably leave you a minute or two as well. But right now, we want to go to Brother James up here in South Carolina. Brother James, are you there?
Peace.
Peace, brother. Thank you for your patience, brother. Thank you. How you doing?
I am happy to be here. I'm glad to have heard about the brother in Colorado getting his liberty, about to be released. That is awesome. I have been dealing with a similar situation for the last 18 years. 18 years ago, I was wrongfully accused of an armed robbery of an Applebee's that I never set foot in.
Wow.
And, I was railroaded after being almost, I was hospitalized. I woke up in the back of an ambulance on the way to the hospital after my encounter with the police. So I'm fortunate to be walking around. So
Brother.
I know that I'm a walking miracle. That night they tried to kill me. I was just refusing to die.
Wow.
But 17 years ago, I was convicted and given 35 years for an armed robbery that they said was done with a toy gun. Now, my firearm was a actual nickel-plated 45. And the warrant that they had was that they had somebody who said they went into a store with me and that we robbed an Applebee's using a small black handgun. So I'm like, you obviously have me confused with somebody else. You know, I was by myself that night except for when I was with a young lady. So there is nobody else that could have went with me inside of any restaurant to rob it. And South Carolina, they are very creative when it comes to court. And due process means nothing because I was indicted for armed robbery with a deadly weapon, yet I was convicted of armed robbery with a toy gun without a grand jury indicting me of armed robbery with a toy gun. That's what they introduced as evidence of a toy gun. Nobody knows what happened to my gun. That was my main reason for going to court, was to get back the gun that I was given by my father.
Right.
It was an heirloom I wanted back. So they stole that and cost me a lot. It cost me a lot. This whole case, this 17 years that I've been incarcerated, has been taking a toll on my family. My sons.
Oh, man. I'm
into their manhood.
Oh.
Me. They are my fathers. It's definitely been an experience that has been more like somebody's life than mine.
You know what, brother? I don't mean to cut you off, but that's the plan, brother. To have our children being so mad and upset at us, Daddy, you chose prison over me, you know, and now I'm grown up. I got kids now. So what do you think about me? You know what I mean? Look at the discrepancies here, the lack of respect and honor that the system entangles us with. Give you a false charge, knowing intel. Now, let me tell you something. It wasn't by accident. Knowing that your kid's going to be growing up when you finally get out, be grown, probably had kids of their own, and at the same time, you're sitting there wondering, and like the sister was saying, hey, am I going to see tomorrow night because of all the crookedness that's going on in these jails and prisons today, right? So I like to say, brother, I give you my, well, high esteem to both of you brothers tonight, man, because y'all very strong, huh? I mean, because, so tell me, what is this a part of mass incarceration that's going on, brother? What's going on with this?
This is mass incarceration. Mass incarceration is a continuation of our enslavement in our own land. Actually, you did make a misstatement that we've been conditioned to say that the story of slavery is a half truth. They've remixed it so much that most people don't comprehend what has happened. We've been a global people since the beginning. We've been everywhere. We're the original man. We're everywhere on all lands.
Okay.
There's people that look like us. And we've been here long before the European, long before the Caucasians came out of Europe.
Uh-huh.
Invaded the so-called New World to them. But we were everywhere. So this is just a continuation because it's a land struggle. This is all about land. That's what this is about. This is our land, and they don't want us to have a connection to it. So they told us we were from Africa so that we wouldn't fight.
Oh, I got you.
So that was one of the big ways that they've defeated us with the pen. Of course, they said they killed off all the Indians. Well, we're not Indians. We're natives. We're African.
Okay.
And we weren't killed off. We were written off as Negroes. They wrote us off. They didn't kill us off. They wrote us off. So now we've been re-enslaved. That was the big trick. They never really freed us. Emancipation was where they performed a change of ownership. That's what happened at the emancipation. That's what emancipation means, is to change ownership, not to liberate. We have to finish the business. We have to liberate ourselves. And there is remedy for us. Under international law, being that we are a people, a specific group, and that we're being governed by an alien group, colonized, as a colonized people, we have rights, and rights to govern ourselves. And that's called the right of self-determination. That is the only thing that we have left to employ. That's the last, that's the thing that Malcolm X and Martin Luther King were murdered for, actually, because they came upon the information and knowing that this was the only obvious answer to our solution, to our challenge.
Let me one sec. I got to cut y'all, brother. I got to go to station break. I'll be right back. So hang in there. We'll come back to you in just a minute. Right, hang on. Rosama, I got all others on mute, but you can still hear me, so if you need to say something for about another 30 seconds. I appreciate it, man, and like I said, we're going to do more of these. As a matter of fact, I might do a follow-up next week, too, because everybody, I got all these numbers. I'm trying to figure, see, who is this other one just calling in?
I don't know.
Oh, no, that's it. Yeah, that one. Who is this? 214.
I don't know. Somebody even heard about it.
Wow. Whose number is 214?
214?
Yeah.
That's our comrade David.
All right, brother, what's going on then?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm listening to my other comrade, Bumani. I'm listening to him. He was talking a few minutes ago.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure you out because I'm going to put him back on right now, brother. Hang on, maybe we can let you have a few words. So hang on just a minute. Let me get back to him, though.
All right.
I'm not trying to ignore you. Come on. All right. Come on, brother. James, what's up? Talk to me. Brother James, here it is. Y'all, we're live. We're talking about mass incarceration with Brother James down there in South Carolina. Come on, Brother James. I had to interrupt you, but now I'm back. Talk to me some more, brother. What's going on there?
Well, the business is actually, we have some unfinished business to handle. We were disrupted from our development as a people when we were invaded back in, some say 1400, some say the 1600s. We were invaded.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we know. And our culture has been disrupted. Our cultivating our personalities and people has been derailed as of lately. But self-determination is what the founding fathers of this nation utilized to establish the United States. And it's now, it's international law. All self-respecting people govern themselves. We're
okay.
the only people who don't govern ourselves because we don't respect ourselves.
Mm.
And we don't respect ourselves because we haven't done anything respectable. So we have to do something respectable that will give us a reason to respect each other and
wow.
uphold high standards for ourselves and each other. We have to start dealing in love and respect. So that's what the mission is. We have to understand how other people get their respect, and that's by governing themselves via self-determination. So I'm with a group called the Human Rights Policy Officers, and they are actually performing humanitarian interventions in Detroit as we speak and housing the houseless population of Detroit.
Oh, really? Because
Detroit
okay.
has an overflow of shelters, of dwellings that can be used to house the homeless.
Really?
Those who are functionally homeless. You know, we have an issue in our community about housing. Housing is a major drain on our finances. So what we're doing is we're exercising our human rights to perform humanitarian interventions and house our brothers and sisters who are in need of housing.
All right, brother.
So
sounds
if you know
anybody
who's in Detroit, mm-hmm. they can call 888-999-6530. That's 888-999-6530. And that's the hotline. That's
okay.
the hotline so they can get housing. Housing is a humanitarian, it's a human right. And right now, winter's on its way.
Yes,
so
it is.
It's going to be a lot better if our people are housed for the winter. They say it's going to be a very cold winter. So we need to get on the ball. We need to get our people
Amen,
housed.
Sir. Amen,
and
sir.
That happens with when we come together and knowing our rights. We have to know our rights. It's the foundation
Amen.
Of doing
yes.
right.
Amen.
Because if you
okay.
don't know your rights, it's really hard for you to do what's right if you don't know what's right.
Oh,
so,
man. Wow.
And we've been miseducated on what's right. And we've been doing what's in the interest of others instead of what's in our best interest. And that's where self-determination comes in at. And
okay,
that's where
I
we are
that.
Now. We're at the point where we're going to have to govern ourselves.
Amen,
we can't
bro.
Leave that for anybody else to do.
One second.
We have
so
more
who's...
than enough intelligence, more than enough love, more than enough compassion and passion to govern ourselves.
Okay.
We
one
just
second.
Need to
brother,
get organized.
Amen. Now, brother, 214, what's up with you? You say you called in to listen to the brother. So what are your thoughts so far, man? What are you getting out of what went on so far?
Hey, me and him, we on the same team. We on the same team. This Comrade Devin. That's Comrade Boo Money. Hey,
okay.
self-determination is the only way to take control of our situation.
Come on. I'm giving you the phone now. You got another 3 minutes. Talk to me. Now, let me hear what you're saying.
Yeah, that's for real. That's for real. That's the key that our people are missing. That's the bell that's not ringing in their head.
Uh-huh.
That's the reparations we need.
That are happening
okay.
to us, we have the power to stop it in our hands.
All right.
We're chosen to go independent, self-govern, and you won't be up under that iron claw.
Mm.
I mean, they're making it mandatory to kill yourself. These vaccines are not even a vaccine. They just call
no,
it
I don't
a vaccine.
Believe it. I don't believe it.
They didn't call it a vaccine because you're familiar with the word vaccine. That's why they call it that, so you're accepted.
Yeah.
No, everything they tell us is the reverse. It's in the reverse, everything they tell us.
Yeah.
The devil is a lie, always have, and always will.
Man, I agree wholeheartedly with you. Oh, man. Hey, that's how you know what,
that's
brother.
Determination.
Yeah. You know what? I think next week we could probably do a show on self-determination because we need to see that the black man and woman need to be able to understand that until we establish our independence, a nation within a nation, we're going nowhere fast because it was already written. Brother Omar, you agree with that or what? What's happening there?
Yeah, we have the key. We have the key.
Uh-huh. So next week, y'all agree then we can come on back next week and we'll do a show on self-determination and independence of black folks having... Okay,
yeah,
we definitely...
That's what we need, bro.
Well, I just said we'll do that next week.
We have a conference call every Monday, Wednesday, or Friday night at 8 o'clock. But
now,
it's a conference call that you have to get on the... You would have to get on the conference call app. There's a... I can't call the name of the app, but there's a link. I'll put it on your page. I'll put it on the Oklahoma.
Okay, y'all do that. That's why. Yeah. Okay.
Page.
Definitely. And so what are we gonna call the show next week?
Self-determination is the solution. No other solution. Nobody else is going to save us.
So we're gonna call the show "Self-Determination is the Solution."
Self-determination is the solution. I agree.
Okay,
I'm just asking.
Okay. All right. So y'all trying to get something started here. What's Sister Cry there? She's trying to get away from me. Tell me what you like about what you heard tonight. You think I'm going to let you get away? It ain't going to work. Come on, talk to me.
He's absolutely right. Self-determination is the key to everything.
Okay.
So very long they've tried to make us believe that we're not a great people and that we're not powerful. And over the years, they've done everything to undermine our strength and our capabilities. We as a people, we have to come together. We have to come together. We got to recognize who and what we are and know that we have the answer. We hold the key. You know, ain't nobody coming to save us. They're not here to save us. They're not trying to save us. They're trying to undermine us and basically bring us to our demise. And that's all because they're scared. They're scared of such a powerful people. And everybody in the world realizes and recognizes how powerful we are. And we don't recognize our own strength. So the minute that we all start to take that introspective look at ourselves and, you know, understand why exactly they're trying to undo us. You know what I'm saying? How is it? How is it they're trying to undo us? For what? For what purpose? What reason? Then we're going to truly realize and recognize our value and our worth. And, you know, once you know who you are, truly know who you are, you know, there's nothing stopping you. You can achieve
things. Let me cut y'all off right here. I don't mean to cut y'all, sister, but I got to go to the station break. That way I can continue to do what I'm doing. But we're going to come back and let each one of you have 6 minutes each to parting shot, actually 5 minutes each, and then I'll take the last two to let everybody know what we're going to do next week. But y'all give me a minute, and we'll be right back. We're going to play a little bit of Teddy Pendergrass to keep us company while I'm gone. Hold on a minute. Here we go. I just sit at home and I eat. I'm going to call back, okay? Okay. We just want y'all to tune in. Let you know that yours truly is all about your love, your respect. It's all about you having an opportunity to feel good about
every time I look at you, be a friend, you and I would
find you.
I couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. I just sit at home and I eat. But now all that has changed. I found someone to eat my baby.
It's going to be cold tonight, y'all. So y'all wrap up and stay warm. All you in my radio audience. 302, you still been on now. You've been playing possum with me, but I'm going to check you out a little later. Hello, Ruby. From Denver? Wow, really? Okay. Who is this from Europe? Now, I can't pronounce your name. Atsanyu? Oh, well. Oh, man. Forgive me, y'all. I'm not good at pronouncing words. All right, y'all, we're back here live. Life being away from a loved one incarcerated, topic number one, and topic number two, mass incarceration. We have a distinguished panel of guests, and I'm just so enthused and elated that I was able to even speak with them tonight. So again, we're going to go back and get ready to close this thing out, but Brother Omar, we're going to bounce back on you and give you an opportunity, first of all, to just tell us what's going on, what you're looking for in the future. We're going to give you about 3.5 minutes because I got about 9 minutes left, and then we're going to jump back to Brother James there, and then y'all going to let me have out the last 2 minutes. So take off with it, Brother Omar.
Man, first and foremost, I really want to thank you for being who you are, brother, because, you know, I've been writing letters to people and sending emails, you know, through outside sources, and it's very hard to get people, even local people in the state of Colorado, to respond. So thank you for being a revolutionary brother you are, the loving brother you are. Thank you for not forgetting the people, man.
Oh,
because
no.
You and your organization, everybody, man, I love you from the bottom of my heart.
Yes, thank you, brother. Yes.
I like to say, thank you, my brother. Thank you. I like to say, anybody that's out there in the state of Colorado, stand up. Instagram at Free Our Brothers. Stand up. Support us. I need your help. I cannot do this alone. This state has the Ku Klux Klan judicial system for all states, really.
Wow.
This issue is bigger than Omar. This is, you know, you got people in here incarcerated from Vietnam, from Virginia, from New York, Florida. So it's bigger than Omar.
Amen.
This is all the people going to stand by in this day and age and allow people of all races, creeds, genders, you know, to be unlawfully incarcerated, railroaded for the sake of profit, prejudice, pride, and power.
All right, brother.
So we need the people to stand up.
I got to cut you off right now because I got a few minutes left. All right, Brother James, again, Brother Omar, thank you. I'll be giving you compliments here in just a minute. Brother James, come on at me now. You got about 2.5 minutes, and I got the rest of the show.
Well, yeah, I'm just happy and grateful for the opportunity to share what's going on with the Freedom and Justice Now movement. We're campaigning for the immediate release of the 250,000 innocent persons who are incarcerated, and the over 1 million over-sentenced captives held in American prisons.
Wow.
So we're making headways. We have the self-determination platform that is nationwide for all of our melanated brothers and sisters who have been victims of white supremacy and slavery for generations. We're going to liberate ourselves through our own hands by withdrawing our consent. It's really that simple. We have consented to be dominated by others through participation in their system. We're going to now organize ourselves with the Black Lives Matter prison chapter, with the Prisoners Lives Matter movement, and with our People's Service Network. We're going to work together, and we're going to start grassroots networking at the prison with our
family.
And
so tell me one more thing.
Start on the ground.
Right. Let me say this because I'm getting short here. Tell me what that number 888-999-6530 is again now. Let everybody hear it.
Yes. That is 888-999-6530. That is the Human Rights Hotline. You can call there and get more information on the housing program, how housing is a human right. And this is something that can be implemented locally, wherever we are the majority as a people.
Gotcha. I got to get ready to go. Get ready to cut me off. One more. All right, Brother Omar, one more thing. You said this number is 303-866-2959. Now, what are we doing with that? What's going on with it?
That's Representative Leslie Herrick, chair of the Black Democratic Caucus, and asking people to call in and ask her to answer the IG and Free Our Brothers RE Citizens video.
Okay.
That's great for us, sir.
Okay.
Please do that.
Thank y'all. All right, y'all, let me have a floor for the rest of the time. Here, and again, we want to thank our brilliant, talented, intellectual class of panelists. I'll tell you what, y'all, everybody, I'm just so overwhelmed with joy that I was able to hook us all up tonight. And again, this is your radio station, Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse International. And that's exactly what I mean. I don't care if you got an issue in Istanbul, Jehovah, or Colorado, Mexico. If we can get you on, we want to get you on because we want others to hear what's going on there because your concern is our concern. It's all of us against the government of the United Snakes of America. I'm sorry, y'all. That's just my opinion of it. That's just how I think and how I feel. I'm not going to change that, you know. But anyhow, we as African-Americans here in the Western Hemisphere, you have to realize one thing. Not only as the brother James Talker and spoke about earlier when he said that we were already from here, you better believe it. It was the first our African-American ancestors who migrated from Africa, from Oklahoma, from the United States, from all over the globe before any of the others even came about. Again, everybody, I don't mean to sound racist or nothing because I'm not. A fact can't be a racist. Now, when I lie on you, say that you came in, you got ears on top of your head or something, that's a lie. But if I come back and tell you that even your own anthropologists and all saying that African-Americans were here, the first Homo sapiens here on Earth, then again, I'm just following the Institute of Knowledge, wherever it may lie. So I'm saying that to say that we have a right as people of color, of people of actual descent, to come in and claim what rightfully belongs to us. And that is also that we have a right to our inheritance, which is our reparations that the government has denied us. I'm very strong and strict on reparations. And I want to use this show maybe hopefully after next week to talk about reparations. So I want everybody to get their hats on because the week after next, we're going to talk about why we haven't been given reparations yet and who it's going to affect and why it will affect the United States. Watch this here. The United States understands that it would virtually go broke if they were to pay us all the trillions and zillions of dollars that they owe us. Because just like they charge us with their so-called finance or late fees, my goodness, boy, if I charge for the late fees, I'm 64 years old. Woo, good Lord. Y'all going to be older than me. I mean, Lord have mercy. I can probably own two states. So, again, y'all, this is where I am with this. I want to thank y'all again tonight, and hopefully before I get off, everybody that's listening in, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to get you on, but at the same time, you know I would if I could. And, again, Brother 302 or whoever, Sister 302, if you're still there, you have a few, have a minute to say something before I have to get out there. Are you still there? I guess they're just listening because they haven't hung up, so I guess they're just listening and don't want to say anything. But that's cool. All right, y'all, so I'm getting ready to get up out of here. I'm getting ready to let us know that I love all y'all, man, and I'm going to keep on. And if y'all, any one of y'all want to know where Michael Washington is, all y'all got to do is visit me on Instagram. Again, Michael Washington. You can visit me at Facebook.com. And you can also visit Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, Empower People Incorporated. Empower People Education. I mean, I just go on and on and on. In other words, just type my name in, Michael C. Washington, and I guarantee you I'm going to pop up 8, 9, 10 times. That's just a fact because I love people, man. I love trying to give you the information that you need, and hopefully that y'all have gained and worthy of your respect. Again, y'all going to get up out here. I'm going to play a little bit more Teddy Pendergrass. I got 90 seconds, so y'all be blessed, and we'll talk back to you. Don't leave yet, though, because the music is still on. So wait till that goes off. Be blessed, everybody. Godspeed. Take care. Oh, I forgot to say, y'all, I got 30 seconds. We're going to be doing a Kwanzaa up here in Oklahoma City on December 26th. We'll do a show on that probably about 3 weeks before it actually comes about. Peace, everybody. Peace to the human race. Goodbye. Good night. It's over. All right, now, bro. What's going on, y'all? Yeah, this one. Did you enjoy yourself?